What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brendan! Brendan is back. I can't believe it. He takes more days off than he works. Yet somehow he is here today.
I don't hardly take any time off.
He's following the BK path.
I'm back for quite a while.
Time off.
What? You're taking off nearly half of next week. Nearly half of next week you're taking off.
I'm back till Monday. And then I'll be back till Thursday.
Wait, off Monday?
Yeah, he's off Monday, Thursday. Off Thursday.
By the way, there's only 5 work days in the week.
You guys know there was a bye week this last week, right?
You're pushing it to 50-50 off days and working.
Are you working Friday?
This Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me that's not
for
working
now.
On Friday.
Oh, good.
I think I'm not working on Friday. It's like a 90% chance I'm not working on Friday. Good to see you all. The band is back together. Wasn't great Monday night football viewing. You know, I thought we were going to have some double channel to watch. A little bit of baseball, a little bit of football. Turns out we find out, what was it, like second half, that there was not going to be any baseball, which is fine. We'll get into that a little bit later. But watching these two teams, both out of the AFC West, we kind of saw the Broncos' demise coming. We felt like they were a little bit overrated because we feel like Russell Wilson is a little bit overrated, that he's not so dangerous.
And overpaid.
That he's very under-dangerous. All of that. Underrated, overpaid, you name it. I think the Chargers are one of the great disappointments, too, so far in the season. And I know their record isn't as bad as the Broncos. Like, they're 4-2. They're probably going to be a playoff team. I can't take the Chargers seriously, though, as, like, a Super Bowl contender. And I feel like they should be a Super Bowl contender with the roster that they have. I pointed Brandon Staley for a team that, in my mind, has been a little bit underwhelming. Sean Payton was in the stands yesterday. That could be a pretty good landing spot for Sean Payton. You can head coach Justin Herbert. But the AFC West, in my mind, just a huge disappointment. Are they really this bad, or do you expect the AFC West to figure it out?
You know, to me, I'm a fan of the Chargers. I'm a fan of Herbert, and I think that they have enough talent, as you were talking about, to figure it out. I believe the Chiefs are the cream of the crop along with the Bills, so they're going to be just fine. So that's, I mean, you're halfway there. Now it's just the underachieving Raiders and just the complete god-awful mistake to watch coming every single week with the Broncos. Broncos, I don't believe, are going to figure it out. And I believe that they have created such a mess for themselves and were so desperate to get the quarterback that everybody said was the only missing piece to a Super Bowl-caliber team. And then not only did they go get him, give up a lot to get him, but then they overpaid him and extended him for way too long to look like they're going to be living through this contract and just absolutely kicking themselves. I think the Raiders have too much talent not to get better. But the really, to me, then it comes back to, are they being coached by the right guy? And do they have a guy in Josh McDaniels that, as good of a coordinator as he's been throughout his career, also based on the fact he's been with Belichick and Brady, this is the second time now we're questioning, as a head coach, does he have what it takes to be a good head coach in this league? Because I see too much talent to be this bad.
Maybe that we just solved the answer. Like, I think we might have just kind of roundabouted our way into the answer of what is the AFC West. Maybe all of the teams, with the exception of Kansas City, are all just poorly coached. Because, look, I think that the AFC West at the end of the season is going to be, like, okay-ish. Look, they're probably going to get 2 playoff teams. I think the Chargers are going to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the Chargers at the start of the season, we were talking about as a Super Bowl contender. I don't view them as a Super Bowl contender as long as Brandon Staley's their head coach. And, yes, they eked out a victory yesterday against the lowly Broncos. Do you think the Chargers are in the same tier as the Chiefs, as the Bills?
No.
Because a lot of people put them in that tier at the start of the season because of the talent they have. And I know that they're injured and all of that. But I believe Brandon Staley is limiting the potential and the roof of this team. We mentioned the Las Vegas Raiders. Look, I think the Raiders at the end of the day aren't going to be one of the, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like, if the season ended today, the Raiders would have the second pick in the NFL draft. They're one of, what, four teams with one win? I think the Raiders probably get to six, seven, eight wins, right? But we were talking about the Raiders as a potential playoff team. They went to the playoffs last year. They added Devontae Adams. They added Chandler Jones. That is a postseason or bust team. I'm betting the bust right now. Denver Broncos. You don't use all that draft capital to trade for Mr. Limited, as one of our texters just pointed out, and then give them that contract with the aspirations of winning five games. The aspirations there are to be a playoff team again. They thought they were going to do that with a good receiving core, with a good defense, with a good running back who is hurt, tore his ACL. Look, those teams aren't going to get there. Raiders aren't going to be a playoff team. Broncos aren't going to be a playoff team. Chargers might be, but they're not a Super Bowl contender like we thought that they were. All three of those teams are underwhelming. They're all disappointing. Maybe it's the coaching is the reason why. Staley with the Chargers, McDaniels with the Raiders, and your guy, Hackett with Denver.
See, I think in terms of Staley, he might have been a guy that you could have growing pains with, that when he made all these different brash, you know, risky moves going forward on fourth down and whatever. He was doing it with a young team that was on the come up and rebuilding, to where you understand, hey, you like his aggressive style. You like the fact that he is trying to be more modern thinking NFL coach, and you're okay with it. But when you're talking about a team where every win or loss could mean something, whether it's making the playoffs, winning the division, having a home field, doing the kind of things where the Chargers basically kind of screwed themselves more than anything else a year ago, yeah, and you've got a franchise quarterback and so many talented pieces, that you're right. Maybe a more veteran, solid, intelligent, you know, traditional coach could have taken this team already further than what he's been able to do by being way too risk-taking.
See, I would even dismiss that stuff. Like, the risk, like, I understand it's kind of like, it's niche, it's gimmicky and all that. I don't believe that's the reason that they're not living up to potential. I just feel like they're limiting their team basically because they're poorly coached. Like, if you look at the Giants, we think the Giants were going to win five of their first six games. Why did they win five of their first six games? Because they're really well coached, that are getting the absolute most out of their players. Chargers aren't doing that.
Look, I think the one thing that we can say is that we don't know the full potential of this year's Chargers team, because you get a guy that's as good as Keenan Allen, and you get back a guy as talented as Bosa. And I had said all along that I had thought that, you know, you might have Khalil Mack win Comeback Player of the Year award because of the fact that he's going to benefit the most out of having Bosa on the other side and having Derwin James in the on the back end of your secondary and having so many talented
J.C. Jackson,
who has absolutely been
he got
awful.
Benched.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what they had coming in, but if they do get their full complement and everybody's healthy and they're on the field, that's a defense that you have to respect, and I think that you'll get even more out of both of the guys on the ends on the defensive line. So they can get better.
The potential's there for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Like, the potential is there for the Chargers, but if they fall short, like, if they, one, don't make the playoffs, it's an easy decision to move on from Brandon Staley, but I would go one step beyond that. Like, if they eke into the playoffs as a six seed and get beat in the wild card round, goodbye, Brandon Staley. I'm not wasting years of Justin Herbert and all. Like, I'm not wasting years of Bosa and Derwin James. It's hard in a salary cap league to keep a talented roster together. And if I have a coach that's underperforming like Staley is, look at last year. They lost to the Texans in a win that gets them into the playoffs.
No doubt.
That can't happen. That's a fireable offense. He still has a job.
As bad as the Colts loss was to the Jaguars last year, everybody looked past the fact that if the Chargers just would have beaten the Texans.
It's because it wasn't the last week of the year.
Right, but it should have been a no-brainer, and if they did, they would have been in a much different position. You're right. Look, you're on your rookie contract for your quarterback, and after that, you are going to pay a buttload of money to keep him. So you need to really concentrate and focus and take advantage of these early years of his success before he costs you an arm and a leg. To do that, they've done the other things. They've been willing to, which has been a big thing for the Chargers in the past, they've been willing to spend money. They went on free agency and overspent on J.C. Jackson. They went and made the commitment to go get a guy like Khalil Mack. They're doing all the things. They re-upped already Derwin James. But the fact is, with all the commitments they're making, they made a commitment to a head coach that might be the biggest detriment to everybody in that locker room.
And they whiffed on Jackson. Jackson's looking awful. Awful for the Chargers, but that entire division has been a disappointment. That said, Texans are a 7-point dog to the last place team in that division coming up on Sunday in Las Vegas. So what does that say that you have the last place team in the AFC West that are still 7-point favorites over the Texans? To me, it's like the Texans are on a different world than the rest of the NFL. I think there's two or three teams that are like not in the NFL talent conversation. I think the Texans are in that mix. I think the Carolina Panthers are in that mix. I think the football team turning to Taylor Heinicke is in that mix. Like the Las Vegas Raiders, as disappointing as they are, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Many people thought that they would. They still are solid in terms of talent. Like you still have David Carr brothers, Derek, who I don't think is top 10, maybe not top 15, but he's more than serviceable as a quarterback. The receiving core is still very good. Josh Jacobs has been really good playing for a contract. The defense still has players as well. So like Raiders aren't going to be a playoff team, but the Raiders last place in the AFC West. Look, I think it's fair that they're a 7-point favorite against the Houston Texans on Sunday.
I do too. Look, I think that there's too much talent for this team to not be able to make a run at a playoff spot. And I think as it relates to just the game on Sunday, you look at a team at home trying to right the ship, this is the perfect scenario for them to take a Texans team that, you know, they have 1.5 wins, if you want to look at it that way. But they shouldn't be anywhere near a threat. If you're going to tell me that you're going to put Stingley on Devontae Adams, and Devontae Adams is going to continue to have struggles, I'm gonna chuckle at that because yeah. I just don't think that that's going to happen. I think that you look at their offensive weapons. You mentioned Carr, but just look at their weapons, their receivers alone. And Jacobs is running for a new contract, and he has been fantastic.
He's been really good.
People have overlooked him because of the team's wins and loss record, but boy, he has been really, really good, and he's a guy you got to respect. And the Texans struggled stopping the run. And then if they try to load up to stop the run, I started with Adams, but you have a tight end in Waller. You have, you know, a slot receiver in Hunter Renfro. You've got all the different weapons that you can go to with their offense to where you have to respect everybody that as a potential weapon on the team that could beat you. The Texans don't have enough talent on defense to cover all those guys. And offensively, you're still talking about Davis Mills. Mm-hmm. And that's where Davis Mills against the likes of Jones, who they went out and spent money on, and the guys they have on the defensive side, Max Crosby, those guys, they're going to come after him. And they're going to make him have to beat them, and I don't think he's capable of doing that.
Raiders and the Texans are like two complete opposites to get to the same result. I'll explain what I mean. I know that's a bit confusing whenever we come back. Also, last week we said that we were fine if the Texans win on the back of rookies. What if they do that in back-to-back games, though? Would we still be fine? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's a Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Join Culture Map October 27th for the tailgate. This is not your typical party in a parking lot. This is the tailgate, a celebration of the culture and lifestyle of sports and the fans who cheer them on. Expect tailgate-inspired tastings from your favorite restaurants, including Street to Kitchen, Dish Society, Sticky's Kitchen, and many, many more. Plus, signature drinks, game day activities, and entertainment. Tickets on sale now include all food and drinks. Go to culturemaptailgate.com to get your tickets today and use promo code ESPN for $15 off any ticket type. I'm trying to carve out a way to get over there to the tailgate. I might be a little bit late, a little fashionably late, but I'm going to try to figure out a way to get over there. We were talking about the AFC West and the disappointment it's been, yet the last place team in the AFC West, 7-point favorites against the Houston Texans on Sunday. 8029 says, do you guys think Hackett will be fired after the season? I think there's a decent chance that three of the four coaches in the AFC West get fired. I think there's a decent chance that Hackett is one and done. I think there's a decent chance that would be weird. But I still think there's a decent chance McDaniels is one and done. And I think Brandon Staley's coaching for his job.
Yeah, look, I think when you just put that out there, I don't think McDaniels goes in a year.
That would be, that's probably the least likely, I think.
Yeah. I think that everything that you've seen out of Hackett says it's David Culley part two. It's just, you're too overmatched. You've had to go out and hire in season another coach just to try and help you be head coach doing head coach things and head coach duties because you still want to call plays and you had to make some sacrifice. but yet you're still making mistakes. And then, you know, a lot of it, too, management's going to use that to deflect what they did wrong because they gave Russ a contract that they didn't necessarily have to give him for 160 guaranteed, over 200 in possible earnings, and all of, you know, all the years they added on. I just think that they might even use that to deflect how bad they've run their organization from a management perspective. I think when you look at it from the Chargers, it's a make or break season because if they make the playoffs and they get these guys healthy and they still have enough time to make a run, he'll be fine. But if they come up short again and they're trying to make sure they appease a quarterback they want to stay and they know they're going to eventually have to pay, they're going to have to do it more so now than later. And that's why they're going to need a coach that can take them there. Sean Payton's the perfect fit there if he doesn't already go to Dallas. Now that Dallas is having the season we didn't expect them to have, chances are a lot less likely they fire McCarthy. That means Sean Payton would be an ideal fit for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, he gets his quarterback, too, for an offensive coach. I think that's part of the reason he quit on New Orleans. And, yeah, I think he quit on New Orleans is that he didn't have a quarterback there that he liked. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Asked you the question. Last week we said we were fine if the Texans win. We were talking about this in the offseason. Like, if you get six wins because your young players are over-exceeding expectations, okay, fine, whatever. So last week we've been saying this. We've said it all year long. You're fine with victories for the Houston Texans if you win it with the young players, namely the rookies. We saw Damian Pierce have a great game in the victory against Jacksonville. Stingley, Petrie bounce back. To have a good running game, you have to have a good offensive line, and Kenyon Green's has been a staple for the Houston Texans at the left guard spot since week two of the season. What if they win back-to-back games on the backs of a rookie? We would still be fine with that if the Texans go into Vegas as 7-point dogs and come back to Houston with a W.
Here's the thing. If the young players still play well, I'm willing to accept it, but I'm not going to like it. And I'm going to have sleepless nights because of it, because as much as I believe in Nick Caserio's draft last year, and I believe overall now in Nick Caserio's ability to evaluate and draft young talent, and even in his ability to make big trades, I really question the fact that you're coming off a bye in which you actually won without playing. Because of all the teams you wanted to win that were really bad teams, the majority of them did, except for the high school-based Chicago Bears. Other than that, I look at it and go, you win a couple more, now you start to really concern me because Embrace the Suck starts getting out of reach or starts being teetering on the verge of being all screwed up. And I don't want that. I don't think you want a top five pick this year. I think you want a top two or three pick this year. And that's why I'll be okay with it, but I will have some sleepless nights.
To me, I would not be okay with it. And I feel like I was probably a little bit not as strong on the Embrace the Suck as you, the inventor, but very much in favor of it. The problem that I have with it this week is that you're playing the Raiders, another one-win team. So, like, this is a team. Look, I still think the Raiders get to 6-7 wins, but this is a team that you're in competition with right now with some of the worst picks in the NFL, like the worst record in the NFL having the best picks in the NFL. I mentioned last segment, if the season ended today, the Texans pick would be the fourth overall. You know who's ahead of them? The Raiders are one of the teams ahead of them. So losing to the Raiders separates the gap, right? Like, it distance yourself even a little bit further away from the Raiders in terms of the race for one of the top picks in the NFL draft. So the opponent matters to me in relation to Sunday's game and the whole, would you accept back-to-back wins on the backs of a rookie? Look, I'll probably get to Sunday at kickoff. That game's in the afternoon and probably be wanting the Texans to play well. I'll probably be looking at it from like a win perspective. But once it's over, if the Texans have the loss, I think I'd feel better about it from the whole like big picture view of the Houston Texans going forward.
Yeah, look, I really believe, and it's kind of an extension of the conversation we had yesterday as it relates to who's in charge and what are they doing. I believe Nick Caserio being in charge, being able to dictate not only the Watson trade, which I still think he doesn't get enough credit for, trying, you know, manipulating and maneuvering through where there was a no-trade clause involved and still getting a majority and knowing what you were going to get and getting more than I think a lot of people thought because of Deshaun's situation, you're going to get the. But it was more so about what he did with the picks, what he did last year. The fact that, you know, you and I go up and down the list, we haven't seen Mechie, we haven't seen Christian Harris, yet this draft is already, this draft already, though, having not seen those guys, is a win. So I love that. And I love that these guys are starting and they're contributing and they're making a difference. And Stingley's only going to get better to where I think he can finally, by we get to the midseason and later points in the season, he will be more of a difference maker. But everybody else we've seen, and the fact that they are playing a role when you do win a football game, is big to me. So I love all that, and I love that development, but I don't want to see them do too much too soon to have it cost them in the big picture.
See, to me, the opponent's the big deal. This are 2 1-win teams going to battle in Vegas on Sunday. Big C says, I have more faith in the Raiders coming off a bye than the Texans. Look, Raiders are more talented, but the Texans, in my opinion, are better coach. That's what I was saying last segment about how these are two polar opposite teams that have come to the same like 1-win result so far. The Raiders are full of talent. I think they're poorly coached. The Houston Texans, I think that they have some good young talent, but overall the 53-man roster is amongst one of the worst in the NFL. But I think that they're pretty well coached. They're in every game. They've won one game. I feel like the coaches have done a pretty good job on this team. And if look, even with one win, with one tie, I think they've exceeded expectation. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. Would you be okay with the Texans winning back-to-back games on the back of rookies? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to that HRNP listener line for Jason. Jason, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Fellas. So I really don't think that the Texans need to win back-to-back. We should embrace the suck, only because since Nick Caserio is willing and dealing type dude, if we actually get a high pick, which I don't think he's going to spend on a quarterback because apparently, you know, he likes a certain style of quarterback, mm-hmm. and I don't think C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young is that type of quarterback. However, we can wheel and deal that first pick and get more picks to fill our team, and in that way, when we do see a franchise quarterback or when Nick sees a franchise quarterback that he likes, then he can pull the trigger, and then that can make us a complete team. I'll go ahead and hang up the list.
Jason doesn't Thanks, want Jason. The win. Jason wants to embrace the suck, which is usually the minority of our listeners. Usually the listeners don't embrace the suck as much as the host
they've
of the
been coming around.
I think so.
Yeah, we've been working on them, and they've been coming around. Yeah. I'm glad that he's embracing the suck because, you know.
And Nick Caserio is a Will and Dylan son of a gun.
He Woo! Really is. Yeah, and so, you know, from my standpoint, look. The thing is, it's who it's against, too.
That's the thing. That's the thing for me.
Because no one expected at the start of the year the Raiders would be a one-win team. And there's too much talent for them to consistently still be a one-win team. But I think it could really screw the whole thing up if they would lose a game to the Texans, because then they start tanking. Then they start not intentionally. They just start disintegrating because people start jumping off. People start, you know, players start pulling Laramie Tunsils. You start questioning the head coach, and then it could implode.
Real quickly, I'm going to warn you guys, if that number stays where it's at, of 7, I'm going to be calling for them on BZ Money on Friday. But
for the Texans or the Raiders?
Absolutely calling for the Texans. Oh. It's a 7-point game. But that being said, I did want to really quickly address the idea that they wouldn't take a quarterback at the top of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I know the game plan is to drop the embrace the suck after this year.
Right.
Will you guys promise me we can drop Embrace the Suck after this year, even if they don't take a quarterback?
Nope.
That's ridiculous.
Nope, that is
ridiculous.
The one caveat. I am not dropping the Embrace the Suck. Look, if Davis Mills is the quarterback, I can't stop Embrace the
if
Suck.
If your team is not good enough that you're still embracing the suck after all of those draft picks that Nick Caserio has
That's
to
2 years. 2 years
That's
without
a
quarterback.
2 years with 2 first-round draft picks.
Without a quarterback.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. It does matter.
If you're a top three team 3 years in a row, you should clean house.
Absolutely. But if you don't have the quarterback, it's very difficult. Sure, you can still clean house. That can
Tell
be
that
true.
To the Lions.
But it is still very difficult to win in the NFL without a quarterback.
Yeah. Do you want to emulate the Lions? Is that your goal?
No,
Joel?
But if you have 3 years of top three picks, you should be getting picks that are like sustainable franchise type players early and get starters and depth late and in the mid rounds. And be better. And you've seen how many times you have swung and missed on first round picks. At least from the standpoint of the Texans, the only thing I would say to counter what you said initially is you've got to have the right players available in the draft. Like the fact that there was no quarterbacks worth taking in the first round a year ago was nothing that they could have predicted or, you know, ideally been a part of, but they had to.
Okay, so what I know is if I'm ever an NFL GM and you guys are the kind of people making decisions above me, I should just never draft a quarterback because then I'll never be expected to win.
Oh, no, no. I still want them to draft a quarterback this offseason.
No, the pressure's still to win, but if you're just avoiding drafting the quarterback, that's on you. Like, you're the one making the draft picks. You got to build a winner, and however
exactly.
you think you can, sure.
And that's
however,
why you don't embrace the luck next year, no matter what.
I'll give them one more year if they don't draft a quarterback.
Actually, I don't know that I do. I mean, as much as I created the narrative, I believe that next year's the year you start winning time. Really pushing it.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Would you be okay with back-to-back wins on the back of rookies for another week? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You might be on the fence when it comes to the Houston Texans winning, but one thing you're not on the fence about, one thing that I'm not on the fence about, is ProDunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market, and now is the time of year to purchase that goal from ProDunk Hoops. Why? Well, the weather is much, much better. NBA season starts tonight. Can you believe that? College basketball season's right around the corner. So you're going to be jonesing to shoot some hoops, to throw down some jams. And if you're going to do so, you need a goal from ProDunk Hoops. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true authentic feel. Extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, keeping your loved ones safe, keeping you safe, keeping me safe that I don't roll my ankle. Competition grade breakaway rim when you're dunking, throwing down some jams. It's perfect for hanging, keeping you safe. Mention dunking. You have to lower it down, of course, but that's no problem. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You want to jam? Lower it all the way down to 5 feet if you want. All the way up to regulation, 10 foot as well if you want to work on that shot. Durability of strength, the ProDunk Hoop, stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong. The best feature, they install the goal. Look, if you're like me, you don't want to do any of that work. Well, the pros at ProDunk Hoops will come out, professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't worry about the thing. You don't worry about a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees having the conversation. We were fine last week when the Texans got the victory off the back of some rookies. Is that okay again? Is it all right in a winnable game? Couple of one-win teams, even though the Raiders are seven-point favorites. Does it fly in the face of Embrace the Suck? Which, nice little imaging there with the bench. Not a huge fan of Embrace the Suck. 713-780-ESPN, 9491. Stop with that loser mentality, please. It's okay to win a few games, especially on the backs of the rookies. If you trust Nick to build the team, then he shouldn't need the number one or two pick to build the team with.
No.
Number one pick are not always 100% hits anyways.
No, that's fine. I get that for most every other position on the football field. But until you have your quarterback and you have solidified the guy that's supposed to take you to the promised land for the next 5 years or so or more, then you do need a higher pick because you want the cream of the crop. You want your first selection and not having to wait and see what other teams do when it's that important of a position and that's the one that you have to make this franchise go. I understand it if you were looking for a defensive end or a tackle or things like that, but because it's the quarterback, I disagree with you. You still, at least for the draft until you get the guy that you have focused on and believe in at quarterback, you still need that top pick.
Yeah, see, this is like, I don't know how Nick really, I understand that Nick's the one making the draft pick, so Nick is part of the equation and part of the whole variable thing, but I understand that number one picks also don't always work out. Mm-hmm. If you just go look at the history of the NFL draft and you look at the number one pick compared to every other pick in the NFL draft, the number one pick's going to have more of a hit rate than the second pick, then the third pick, then the 10th pick, then the 15th pick, then the 100th pick, then the 250th pick. So if you trust your GM or not, if you don't trust them, well, it's the most bulletproof spot to be in the draft. Secondly, you can have the whole trade value conversation. Third, if you do trust them, okay, well, I want him selecting from the entire draft pool as opposed to, say, picking fourth, and the top three players, according to other GMs in the NFL, are removed from that draft pool.
Jeremy, I give you, as Exhibit A, Rick Smith. Rick Smith, who was not good at drafting, did not have great drafts throughout his career. But you know what he did more so than anything else? He hit on the first-round picks.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that, like you just said,
safer.
The chances are that you're going to find guys that can play in the first round. That not all the prognosticators are right, but for the most part, the draft evaluators get the first round picks. No matter where they're picked, they might miss on that, but they're first round talent, and you can get something from them. Where it gets trickier and where you have to be a little bit more savvy with your evaluations, second, third, especially third, fourth, fifth rounds, where Rick Smith struggled mightily. So even Rick Smith hit on the number ones. It's where you really earn your money as a general manager and a talent evaluator when you build, like I said, through the third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth rounds and get special teamers, backup players, and primarily starters and potential starters in the next couple of years in those round picks.
Like, for some reason, Mitch Trubisky's coming up in the conversation. If you're, like, look at it from that perspective, too. Do we all believe that the Houston Texans will need a quarterback at some point?
Yes.
Yeah? I mean, I'm still sure that there's some people that are believers in the Mills Mafia. Like, there's probably some in Mills we trust that still somewhat exist. I understand that and appreciate it. I guess I appreciate it. I'm not sure if I appreciate it. But I think we all, the three of us and most of the Beehive, would agree that the Texans are going to need a quarterback. There's multiple ways to get a quarterback, right? You can go the Bronco route, the Browns route, where you're trading a lot of draft picks to then go trade for a veteran quarterback and then spend a lot of money on, which I would argue can be counterproductive for a variety of reasons, the draft capital and the money you're spending. You could go out and trade up, right? You can trade up for a quarterback like the Bears did for Mitch Trubisky, like the 49ers did for Trey Lance, whenever you don't feel like you have a good enough draft pick to select the quarterback you want, or you can draft that quarterback. Those are really the three options to bring in a quarterback. They could all work. They could all fail. I think that the best way to build an organization is to draft that quarterback with one of your own picks. You're not spending other draft picks. You're not spending draft capital and money to go out and get said quarterback, when you, especially with a team that has so many holes.
Well, we mentioned a guy like Justin Herbert, right? It's very rare that you get a guy that's drafted by the team that commits to him and shows that they really want him, and then after his rookie contract is over, he walks scot-free and goes and picks another team and is never to be heard from in that market again. Normally, when you draft a guy, you stay with the guy and you really roll with the guy. Trubisky is a bit of an... They gave him every opportunity, too, to try and to succeed. But overall, that's why if you're the Texans, you're expecting to find someone in free agency and you'd really love to find a young guy that just didn't work and it didn't mesh. You would hope that the Herbert situation gets really ugly, really messy. They'd still try and trade him, and the team that traded for him that has to give up a ton is going to be the one that signs him for the big deal. You're not going to find him just kind of waiting around for his next team in free agency to the highest bidder. Then you're going to have to face the fact that in free agency, if that's the way you, the route you go to not give up any capital, you're going to overpay for a guy that's probably on the downside or not nearly what he was when he was making a name for himself to earn the money.
Think of the quarterbacks who have signed in free agency. Like, I really don't use that as a route to actually bring in a quarterback. I would argue that the two that immediately jump to mind that have been a success, other than, like, you know, an older quarterback that's, like, looking for another year, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is the one that hits me right in the mouth.
Drew Brees, which was a rare instance in the sense that he was coming off a major injury. Nick Saban and the Dolphins said, no thanks, we're good with Dante Culpepper. And the Chargers also drafted Phillip Rivers. Well, they drafted Eli Manning, traded him, flipped him for Phillip Rivers. So that's what made Brees expandable. And he was also coming off the injury that nobody thought he would recover from. The second one's probably Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins, for being a free agent quarterback, had good results. I know we make fun of Kirk Cousins. Has he? And this is to your point, that you're overpaying for said quarterback. Kirk Cousins has made more money than he has produced as an NFL quarterback. He's probably been a top 12-ish type of quarterback in the NFL. The Vikings are having a really good season now that they brought in an offensive mind to help him out there in Minnesota as well. And he has the luxury of Justin Jefferson, maybe the best receiver in the NFL. Adam Thielen's a really good number two. Dalvin Cook.
You got a really good running back. I was going to say that helps.
Like, those are the top two free agents, I think. And those were also, like, Drew Brees was, what, two decades ago? Kirk Cousins is in this decade. Those are two free agent quarterbacks that you could really, like, trust in. And I even hesitate to say trust in Kirk Cousins.
I agree, because the Brees one, to me, is the one that, and I didn't realize Saban just passed on him. I thought Saban was interested. He was really interested for a long period of time.
He was down to those two, and they picked Culpepper over Brees.
Yeah, because, you know, that would have been a different... Everybody always says if Nick picked, had stuck with and brought in Drew Brees, that it might have been different. So that's the one that always comes to mind right away. From a Kirk Cousins perspective, you look at it and you say, we talked about this. You have to have higher aspirations than Kirk Cousins, too, because of the fact that even if there's another Kirk Cousins out there, is that good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and maybe even Justin Herbert or other quarterbacks.
You need a really good team to be competitive.
Because they're all in the AFC, and they're not going anywhere because they're all young. So you might get that kind of guy, but then you really have to have a stud running back and a stud wide receiver and the kind of other options and tools and weapons that take your quarterback to another level and allow them to completely maximize everything they possibly can. Otherwise, you're going to fall short to the three guys that have more talent just in their own arms and their own bodies, but then they also have talent too around them. So that's why even a Kirk Cousins situation to me isn't good enough for a Texans team that has higher aspirations. That's why the draft is so important. That's why a higher pick to me is essential.
Some people are pointing out some of the other free agent quarterbacks. Peyton, A-Bar Hopper says, I don't think Peyton was actually a free agent. He got traded by the Colts,
I believe. He dictated where he wanted to go,
yeah,
too.
And they worked together. I think that the Colts actually got something in return for Peyton Manning. Big C says Alex Smith, who was a free agent probably more than once, and he was all right. But, I mean, he was just all right. Like, you're not finding franchise quarterbacks in free agency. Like Kirk Cousins, maybe. Drew Brees, yes. And it was like a miracle that he got to free agency and then he came off the shoulder surgery that he had. 713-780-ESPN. Are you okay with back-to-back wins on the backs of rookies? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you are a believer in it and you're willing to put your money where your mouth's at, the place you should do it is BetUS.com. They're back for their 28th year of NFL action. The industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers members the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues, including the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, NBA, and much, much more. BetUS also has hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, live dealers waiting for you at the tables. Look, you need a sportsbook with integrity, you need a sportsbook with longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of your favorite crazy bets and parlays. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS. And they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BETUS. Join now, mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your very first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BETUS.com. Join today. That's BETUS, where the game begins.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we were wrong about Manning. He was a free agent to Denver. The Colts gave him his release, and then he signed with Denver. I don't think it changes our conversation, though. Like, we were talking about sometimes you have an aging veteran who will, you know, sign wherever he wants to sign. Was Tom Brady a trade, or he wasn't a free agent, right? Was he a trade? No, I think he might have been
a free agent.
He was a free agent, too. Like, that's kind of the exception to the rule. You have an aging quarterback who's going to go to a winning team. Do we think an aging quarterback, like I heard Stoot say that Brady could leave Tampa Bay and some of the teams that were on his like top five, one of them was the Houston Texans. Do we envision somebody of a Manning style, a Manning type, a Brady type, somebody who's winding in the twilight of their career that's going to hitch their wagon to a team that is going off four wins, however many wins they get this season? I don't think it's going to happen. That's just me.
If you're Tom Brady, the only thing you want to do with the last remaining year or two of your career is win. So if you're trying to win, you need a ton of weapons around you. You need an offensive line that is lock, stock, and barrel as much as possible. And obviously they've struggled this year, and that's why they've struggled as a team this year for a lot of reasons, because he hates to get hit, and he's gotten hit more because three-fifths of his line took off or is no longer there. I think when you look at it and go, I understand the New England connection would be something that he would feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. He's not going to feel comfortable with, even if Brandon Cooks is still here, the complement of receivers that he has. He's not going to feel extremely comfortable with the offensive line that he has. He's going to expect you to go spend every dollar that you possibly can to try and better this team every single place he tells you to. And then when he starts bringing his friends in, he's going to want you to sign them too. And I think it completely derails what you've been doing and starting to do already with building of the youth movement and the depth for the future.
See, OG says levels of growth. You don't go from zero to champ after stinking for 5 years straight. Bengals did. Cincinnati did. Cincinnati was awful. Cincinnati had, what, four wins and then went to the Super Bowl? Like, what's the level of growth there?
Well, it was a year, and then they let Burrow, their franchise quarterback, get crushed.
Yeah.
And then instead of going offensive line, they took a gamble and went for a receiver, and it worked out beautifully.
It happens quick, but let's not. And
We did this study like 2 months ago, and how, like, you don't get progressively better. How going from like four wins to playoffs and being a Super Bowl contender can't happen overnight. The NFL's notorious for being worst to first almost every single year in the NFL.
See, I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
But I don't think so either, but there is history that it does happen in the NFL.
I think you'll see substantial growth if they stay on the beaten path, keep doing what they've been doing, I think, and then, again, use free agency as a tool this offseason as well.
I would just argue that the steady growth doesn't translate in wins. Let's make the assumption that the Texans win nine games in 2023. Okay. They win nine games next year. That's a fact that's going to happen based on this little hypothetical practice exercise that we're doing. Does the amount of wins the Texans have next year influence the amount of wins they have in 2023 at all?
Does the amount of wins this year?
Yes. Does that impact the nine wins they're going to get in 2020?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely not. How does that impact it at all?
If you don't have a lot of wins, then you get higher picks.
So you're saying it's actually helpful?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a plot twist.
The problem with this, we've had this argument before too. The problem with this line of thinking, no, the number in the win total does not directly affect.
I'm saying the less, and what I'm saying is the less wins alters it.
Brings more talent.
I hear you. But my problem is it just assumes that how many wins you have this year has literally nothing to do with how good your team is. And that's silly. The amount of wins you have this year will reflect how good your team is this year.
So when Cincinnati won four games the year before they went to the Super Bowl, that reflected
the talent they had on that team.
Neither do the Texans.
But the difference is the quarterback was on the roster. He just wasn't playing. It's not the same.
Is it not the same, though? Like, the Bengals didn't have two first-round draft picks the next year. If we just assume that the Houston Texans are going to use a top-five pick on a quarterback, now he's not necessarily going to be Joe Burrow, but we didn't know Joe Burrow was going to be Joe Burrow coming off his torn ACL either. Like, the Texans have the luxury of that top-five pick basically being free because they also have the Cleveland first-rounder. So, no, the Texans don't have the quarterback on the roster, but they have a path to get that quarterback back on the roster.
It's not incremental in the sense that you go from 2 to 6 to 10. Like, you don't improve by small amounts each year. But if you are – the Bengals are an incredibly rare exception.
No, they're not.
That picked top 5 and then deep in the playoffs?
Here's what I would argue about the fact that I can fit somewhere in the middle here. But to me, you got to wait at least a year or two, even if you get your franchise quarterback, because he's got to get seasoned. He's got to get ready. He's got to understand and learn the league and be able to excel at the next level.
Do you think Burrow did?
I think, first of all, the injury derailed him completely. I think that he still took a lot of hits. He was still learning as he went, but he obviously excelled in his first year. But his first year, until he got hurt, they weren't going to a Super Bowl. They were just improving. That's why I said, once you get the franchise quarterback, there's at least an extra year or two before you can really start looking at the bigger picture.
I really don't disagree with that. Couple of teams in recent memory that have like gone to the playoffs after four-win seasons. The Eagles last year reached the playoffs after winning four games in 2020. I just mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm not arguing that you can make the playoffs.
I agree with that,
playoffs.
Yep. I think they can make the playoffs.
Okay, what are you talking about?
I'm saying you're not going from a top pick to a contender like the Bengals did. They were an outlier.
Francisco, 2016, San Francisco 49ers. You asked for examples. I'm giving you examples here. You don't want the examples because you don't want me to disprove the narrative?
The 49ers went from conference championship to top five pick to conference championship.
Okay.
So do we think that in-between year was maybe a little fluky?
And that's not exactly that's not exactly true. 2016 49ers went 2-14. They went 6-10 in 17. They went 4-12 in 18. And then they went 13-3 in 2019. So you kind of putting words in my mouth. The 49ers went 2 wins, 6 wins backwards. They went backwards. This can't happen in this sort of world that they would go backwards in terms of the win column and then jumped to 13 wins. The win column does not always translate growth in the NFL, especially with the strength of schedule. Look who you're facing. The divisions could be either really good. They could be really bad. You could finish last in your division, have other last place teams that you're facing. Year by year in the NFL, the win record does not, it's a stock. stock market of growth or decline.
The big thing, too, is like, look, just look at what we just started when we opened the show. Everybody thought the AFC West was the toughest division in football to start the show. So, therefore, the teams that had to play the AFC West were really up Crap Creek without a paddle because they had a tougher schedule no matter what the NFL said. And then all of a sudden, we found out a few weeks in, the AFC West isn't even close to what we thought it was going to be cracked up to be. And now suddenly you take a break in your schedule. The moon and the stars have to align to some degree to pave a path for that quick turnaround. But
yeah,
I think,
sure.
But I do think it is realistic because if you do focus on not winning and embracing the suck and all that, you know, there's many different ways we like to call it embrace the suck. But if you embrace the suck enough that wins don't mean anything to you or you don't have many of them for one more year or for a year, you can come back the following year, especially if your books are in order. So you can have money to go out in free agency. You can use all these draft picks. You have the extra added advantage of having the picks from the Watson trade to where I realistically think the playoffs and making it as a wild card is realistic a year from now.
Yeah.
But to be a true contender.
Top end realism? Sure.
To be top end, whether you get them or not and how you get them or not, you still have to solve your quarterback. Just have to.
Now, if the Texans are a playoff contender next year, it's obvious that they're doing it through young players. I would say that they're obviously on the right trajectory. But the win total in 2022 is not going to change that. If we know that the Houston Texans will win 9 games in 2023, be playing significant games in December, I like what you said, lower win total increases the overall talent of the team. But the win total in 2022 has zero influence, other than maybe helping bring in talent, of 2023. Look, the Buccaneers might not be the greatest example here because they got Tom Brady, but the reason they got Tom Brady was because they built a good team around that quarterback position to make Tom Brady attractive to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay in 2013, 4 wins. 14, 2 wins. 15, 6. 16, 9. They went backwards in 17 with 5. They went backwards in 18 with 5 again. Then they won 7-19, signed Tom Brady and are Super Bowl champions. This whole 2 wins, 3 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins, we're getting better. That is a myth.
Yeah, look, I think that the other thing that you could think about, which kind of debunks all of this, is take a team like the Chargers a couple years ago, where they were in every single game and they couldn't find a kicker that could get them what they needed to do. And veterans looked at that and said, I love that team. I love the roster. I love the players. I want to be a part of that. I want to go be, you know, the next guy that pushes them over the top or makes a difference because of the fact that they were kicks away from winning multiple games that they ended up losing. And so it didn't matter for that year, but going forward, it still made it a hyper-attractive situation for free agents. Then you just had to figure out and get the right draft picks.
There's been 22 teams in the last 10 years that have been a 4-win team. They had to start that path somewhere along the way. Like, they might have lost back-to-back 12 game seasons. They might have been back-to-back 4-win teams. But the last 10 years, there's been 22 teams, I think I just said. There is literally no, it's random on how they get back to the playoffs. There is no linear 2 wins or 4 wins, 6 wins, 8 wins, then back into the postseason. It's completely random. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. How do you feel heading into tomorrow, the ALCS, compared to the ALDS? Me, for one, I feel a little bit, and this is scary, I feel a little bit more confident. I feel more confident in the ALCS. I feel better about the ALCS than I do the ALDS. I'll explain why. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Vivia. Vivia has got it all covered for you in taking out the trash. They take out the trash and get rid of all the garbage that you don't want on your property, that you don't need around, and you don't need giving you a bad reputation in your neighborhood or at your commercial project that you are working on. They do what you don't want to do, and they take out the garbage. They bring a 10-yard or a 15-yard roll-off dumpster. They can do it where they can do it all in the same day. Bring it in the morning, take it away at night, and they make sure that they follow everything so that you check off the boxes you need to check off, get rid of the trash you need to get rid of, and keep your projects going. You might just be cleaning out the attic in the garage and doing some things around the house, cleaning out closets, but you want to get rid of all that trash, and you want to do it fast. You don't want to piss off your HOA. You want to make sure that everybody's A-okay with the way you're doing it. That's why you go to Vivia. Same thing if you have you're a project manager and you're doing a commercial project. You might have thought of everything except for how you're going to get rid of the waste. That's where they come in. They take care of the stuff so you don't have to. You've seen us use them at the ESPN golf tournament. Texas Custom Patios uses Vivia with all their waste needs for their projects. Why wouldn't you do the same? Have them come to you today. Bring that good-looking dumpster and have it fit perfectly in your driveway or your yard. They'll drop it off in the morning. They'll pick it up at night. You can wipe your hands clean of any and all issues. They're fantastic. If you're interested, check them out. GoVavia.com. GoVavia.com. That's GoVavia.com.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.